Good morning.
Morning.
We're going to look today, if you would, open up your Bibles to Romans, the 12th chapter. Try to mix it up a little bit. Sometimes we look at a theme, an issue, a topic. Sometimes we will, I try to mix it up, New Testament, Old Testament. Sometimes we look, we will study a verse. Our focus is maybe a verse. Today I'd like for us to look at a chapter. Romans 12, the Apostle Paul is writing to the Christians in Rome. Paul had always wanted to go see them. He had a great affection for them. Wanted to go visit them. He will make it to Rome. It just wasn't in the way that he had expected or wanted. He will wind up making it to Rome in chains under guard. But he has a great affection for the Christians in Rome. And I'd like for us to look. We will be mostly, if you look at the outline, we will be mostly in Romans, the 12th chapter. Leave your finger there, but we'll bounce around to a couple of other verses, some companion verses in the process. It starts out, and in verse 1, Paul is calling and urging us to be a living sacrifice for God. He says, I beseech you. That is, those are some strong words. It's not just, hey, it's a good idea. It's not, hey, have you thought of this? It's, I beseech you. I beg you. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. In our Sunday morning Bible class, we're right now looking at a topic, the names of Jesus. And last week and this week, we were looking at Jesus as the Lamb of God. And as a lamb, that was the sacrifice. It goes all the way back to the Passover in Exodus. And Paul is saying to present your bodies, our lives, as a living sacrifice, holy. The lambs that were presented as sacrifices for the Jews, they had to be without blemish. They had to be inspected. Not just any old sacrifice was accepted. Not just any old thing that you put up. You know, if you think any sacrifice is acceptable, ask Nadab and Abihu. If you think just any old thing is acceptable, it's not. Paul is saying, present your bodies. Be a living sacrifice daily. Be holy, acceptable to God. Be a sacrifice that God would be willing to accept as an offering. Mm-hmm. And he ends up, he says, which is your reasonable service. I'm not asking you to do anything out of the ordinary. This is your reasonable service. An awful lot has been given for you. And Paul is saying, it's only reasonable that you live your life. Jesus gave his life. You live your life in an acceptable and holy way to God. He goes on to say to the Colossians, the Christians in Colossae, a companion verse here, Paul said, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. That's how we can live our life. That in everything we do, not just getting up and preaching, not just teaching a class, but in the way we live our lives, whatever we do, in word and in deed, the things we do, the things we say, let's always make sure that they match up. That the things we say match up with the way we live, and vice versa. That the things we do are followed up with the things we're saying. In verse 2 of Romans, Paul is telling us to be transformed, to be changed. It's hard to do sometimes. The more of the world that is in us, it's harder to sometimes change. Last Wednesday night, I've known Raven since I was a teenager. She says, I need to be baptized. She had gotten wet when she was young. But she said it was out of peer pressure. There was a lot of pressure. It wasn't her decision. Every one of us, when we've made that choice to be baptized, we transform ourselves. We change. Or I'll put it this way. If we don't transform ourselves, we've just gotten wet. We have to be transformed. We have to be transformed. Paul says, and do not be conformed to this world. I know we as people do sometimes conform to the world. I know I do sometimes, but I ask myself the question, why would I want to? Why would I want to be conformed to the world? But he says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Change. What good is turning to God? What good is putting your Lord on in baptism if you don't? If you stay conformed to the world. But be transformed, how? By the renewing of your mind. That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And how do you renew your mind? You renew your mind through the Word of God. Through the knowledge of the Scriptures, the encouragement, the knowledge, what His will is. You renew it through prayer, through repentance. And Paul is saying, we need to be transformed, changed to something different from the world, not to be conformed to the world. In Luke 13, verse 3, and then Jesus says it exactly again in verse 5. But Jesus says, I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. We have to repent. We have to change. We have to be transformed. We have to repent from that worldly self of ours. Because that's how we're changed. Verse 3. Paul is encouraging us to be humble. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Paul is saying, he's not saying not to think well of yourself. He says not to think more highly of yourself than you should. And isn't that a problem that man has? If man didn't think more highly of himself than he should, that would cure a lot of problems. The pride, the arrogance. God wants us to look in the mirror and see something of value. Because not seeing something of value, we're missing the point. If we look in the mirror and see something that's not of value, Jesus gave his life for us. He died. God gave his only begotten Son. We were purchased at a very high price. We are very valuable. But from the world standpoint, Paul is saying, don't think more highly of yourself. Don't think you're all that in a bag of chips. Don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to. That's where we get in trouble. When we start, my mom used to call it getting too big for our britches. I have no idea what that means, but I know exactly what it means. You know, mister, you're getting too big for your britches. I knew exactly what she meant. Had nothing to do with my pants. But to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. In Matthew, the 23rd chapter, Jesus says, "And whoever exalts himself will be humbled. And he who humbles himself will be exalted." God has a way of reminding us when we toot our own horn that it usually backfires on us. Or at least, I'll put it this way. When I get tooting my own horn too much, it's always backfired on me. I would much rather be humble and be exalted by God than toot my own horn and God put me in my place. Because that's usually what happens. Verses 4 through 8 in Romans. We see the concept, and we've talked about this a number of times in Bible classes, in sermons, the concept of one body, many members. We know that there's one Lord, there's one faith, there's one baptism. There's one. It's not like the world, like a friend of mine that said, "Oh, we're all just going to the same place. We're just getting there in different ways." Well, I hate to tell you, no, we're not. There's one path. There's one Lord. There's one faith. There's one baptism. There's one body. But there's many members. Paul said, "For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function." I'm so glad of that. I'm so glad we have song leaders. Because if it was, you've heard me before. You've heard me. I'm glad we have song leaders. And I'm glad that we have many members in this one body. I'm glad not everybody's a thumb. Thumbs are good. Use mine every day. But we're not all thumbs. "For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. So we, being many, are one body in Christ. And individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching. He who exhorts in exhortation. He who gives with liberality. He who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Couple of things that jump out at me in this passage. One, we all have different functions. We all have different abilities, different talents, different things that we have to offer the one body. I'm glad we don't have a whole congregation of me's. Whole bunch of short, bald, fat guys with limited abilities. I'm glad we got some people with some talents around here. But the one thing that really jumps out is right in the center of that passage. Let us use them. There in verse 6. Let us use them. Whatever it is that God has blessed us with, use them. We have to use them. And whatever it is we've been blessed with, use it to the best of our ability. In 1 Corinthians, Paul also wrote in chapter 12, says, "For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into that one Spirit." That is what's so great about the kingdom of God. That is what is so great about the church that Christ established. We are all members of that one body. It doesn't matter our age. It doesn't matter our gender. It doesn't matter our race, our income. Where we've got people in here with so many varying backgrounds, but we are one in the body of Christ. Many members come together in one body. Verses 9 through 16, Paul emphasizes that we need to truly, truly love one another. Truly, not go through the motions, truly love one another. He says, let love be without hypocrisy. Nobody likes a hypocrite. God included. Nobody likes a hypocrite. Abhor what is evil. Again, strong language. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another. That it's an honor to give preference to the other person. Not to always be get. But to give honor to each other. Not lagging in diligence. Fervent in spirit. Serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute. Oh, that's really in there? Bless those who persecute you. And bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. That's easy. Well, sometimes it is. Sometimes there's people that want to rain on somebody else's parade. Sometimes that's not easy to do. But Paul is telling us, rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. A similar phrase as was said earlier, do not be wise in your own opinion. He said, don't think more highly of yourself than you ought. Don't be wise in your own opinion. Does God see you wise? Do each other see you wise? But not wise, you know, not wise in your own opinion. In 1 John 4, the Apostle John says something similar. Starting in verse 20, he says, if someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. Oh, I love God. I love Jesus. I don't like other people, but I love God. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. In verses 17 through 21, Paul deals in Romans with the concept, not only do we need to truly love one another, even our enemies. That's sometimes tough to do. Repay no one evil for evil. That's exactly the opposite of what the world teaches. Get even with people. In fact, the world teaches, get them before they have a chance to get you. I'm not saying I'm exactly there yet. But he says, repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, this is not something to fall back on. This is not an insurance policy or justification on how to act. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. I will be the first to say, there are some people, they're like trying to hug a porcupine. They're prickly, and however you approach them doesn't seem to work. There are some people you just can't get along with. But as long as it depends on you, if it's within your power, if you don't get along with somebody, this is saying, don't let it be that you're the fault of it. There are some people, no matter what you say, good morning, no it's not. You say white, they say black. They say day, they say night. There's some people you can't get along with. But as far as it depends on you, don't let any of it be because of you. Live peaceably with all men. And I'd like to close up of the rest of this verse, excuse me. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine. Why should we want to take the vengeance and repay evil with evil? God can do it much better than we can. God has a little bit bigger arsenal at his disposal. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And that's what happens when we start looking for the vengeance ourselves. When we start plotting and scheming and dreaming about how we're going to get back, and that consumes us. We are overcome by evil when we do that. But overcome evil with good. And the last verse I'd like for us to look at is Matthew 5:46. Jesus is telling the people before, if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? If we're only friends and friendly with our buddies, that's a given. How do you treat other people? Jesus said, even the tax collectors, love those that love themselves, love them. We need to love even our enemies. 2 weeks ago, first Sunday of the new year, one of the things that we wanted to look at, encouraged to do, was to study more. This is a simple way to do it. Take a chapter out of the Bible. Take a verse and just really look at what it is saying. It doesn't take you long. I encourage you this week to study, to get into the Word, get into what God wants us to do. Study a chapter like we did today. If you need to respond to the invitation, we never like to leave an assembly without offering the invitation. You can respond to the invitation anytime. It can be 2 in the morning. I remember a gentleman came up once, wanted to respond to the invitation before the invitation had given. I remember Carlos Macias came up before we even started worshiping. I need to be baptized. Okay, let's do it. We don't have to do it at the end. But before we disband, always want to give offer the invitation that if you've been studying the Word of God and you come to the point of realizing I need to be baptized for the forgiveness of my sins, we can accommodate you. If you need to repent of sins, if there's that one thing in your life or many things in your life keeping you from walking that path with God, repent of them. Change. If you've been looking for a congregation to worship with and you would like to officially identify that, yes, I want to be part of this congregation, you're added to the church when you're baptized. But if you'd like to be part of this congregation, working with us, serving with us, we would love for you to be officially part of us. Whatever your need, if you need prayers, we've had, you know, we're praying for the sick. We're praying for Judy and Don right now with the loss of their dear friend Rod. We've got Sean and her family in our prayers, the loss of her brother. If you need the prayers of our congregation, we would love to go to God together on your behalf. Whatever your need, if you need to respond to the invitation, please come forward while Daryl leads us in the invitation. Let's stand and sing.